Welcome back, everyone. Now, you might be thinking, you don't sound very enthusiastic. I'm not. I'm really not. I got back from Glastonbury Festival today, so you can imagine how I'm feeling. Hungover, sleep deprived, and just in general bad condition. You're going to hear a lot of snivelling, a lot of coughing. But you will also hear about this week's Silverstone Grand Prix, which I think we are both very excited for. And hopefully, I will be feeling much better by the weekend. But since you're here, please check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts. If you don't want to see us, I know I'm probably not looking too good either. You can also follow us on social media. Get in the description and check out our Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok, where all my favourite people are. Anyway, we're going to crack on.
All right, guys, welcome along to episode 16, I think. Episode 16 already. Yeah, I think. Welcome along. Hope you're all good. Yeah, Luke, I feel for you a bit.
It's a rough one. I mean, I went to bed at one. It was like 1:15. Got back to the tent. Bear in mind, right, my tent was... I didn't realise. I should have known. The tent was cheap. It was like the size of a mat.
How much did it cost?
Like 30 quid, but it was 50% off, but I bought a double...
A 30 quid tent?
Yeah.
And you wondered why...
It was a pop-up, so I wanted to get there and just lob it and it just opened up, but I also bought a double airbed to put in there. We'll put a picture up, I'll send it to Dan. Like, this is all the space I have in it. Basically, the airbed I couldn't even fill up all the way because it wouldn't fit in the tent. So, like, my tent... didn't even look like a tent because it just had this massive mattress stuffed in it. So, like, I couldn't do anything in it.
Okay.
It was actually quite comfy.
What would you want to do in a tent?
No, like, I couldn't change in the tent. Like, I couldn't even kneel in the tent because, like, there wasn't enough room for my head. I had to sleep like that. Now, if you're listening, I'm, like, in fetal position. And that wasn't because I was feeling fragile. It's because I had no alternative. So basically, I get back to the tent, 1:15 last night. But the inside of my tent is wet. No idea how. It wasn't raining. It was just soaking wet. Yeah, and then I woke up at 5:30, woke my mate up and drove back home. So not feeling too wise. And that was probably... the most amount of sleep that I had in a night anyway, so.
So, I know I just said I do feel for you a bit. Actually, I don't. It's self-inflicted.
It is all self-inflicted. And if anyone did go, I mean, it's an amazing time.
Was it good?
Yeah, it's just incredible. It's literally a different world there.
Well, I've seen some pictures. It looks quite a good event.
Yeah, they put on, like, a mental show. Honestly, and it's so big. I was doing, like, 25,000 steps a day.
Wow, okay.
Just going around. So I burnt off all the calories that the alcohol probably put on, but it's fine. And I'm sure, in a couple of days, I'll feel back to normal.
Will you do any work for the channel, do you think, over the next few days?
probably not. I can't imagine I will. I mean, I got to film Waffling tomorrow. That's going to be a barrel of laughs, isn't it?
Oh, God, poor them. Right, guys, welcome along. It is all F1. It's not about you now.
Actually, before we do carry on, it was Matt's 40th birthday at the weekend. So make sure you wish him happy birthday.
I'm not
in the
40.
Comments down below or DM, like, Racecast or whatever, just wishing him a happy 40th.
Did you speak to Corey? Because he literally, when you text me saying happy 40th, I'm not 40, by the way, Corey literally sent me a message... 5 minutes later, happy 40th, mate. Literally identical messages, exactly what you said.
I didn't speak to him, no. That is quite funny.
Two little pricks.
Tower of the same blood.
Yeah, exactly. Two losers. Right, so F1, we'll talk about some latest news.
Yeah, which, obviously...
You know a lot about.
I need, because I have not seen anything.
Okay, so Zak Brown, we know, obviously, his comments over the Monaco weekend, basically saying, you know, him and... Danny Rick, they can part ways if they want to, all of his contract. However, he has now come out and said, Zak Brown says, Ricardo, relationship has never been better as he clears up comments on Australians' performances.
Is that a PR stunt?
This is what I'm wondering. I personally think it is.
I mean, they have to say that. You know, he wouldn't be able to come out and say, like, oh, It is at an all-time low. I don't know how we're going to get back from here.
No. He said, we have a great relationship and had dinner a couple of weeks ago in London. We have good laughs together and enjoy racing together. So the relationship with Daniel has never been better. I don't believe it.
Yeah, I mean, I can never really imagine Danny Rick being frosty with someone.
No.
But, like, I just can't imagine. He's probably not feeling too good about the whole situation. And I'm sure McLaren aren't either. You know, they brought him in to be the hot shot.
Yeah.
And it didn't really pan out. But it would be nice if it was true.
Yeah.
And it may well be. Let's hope.
You never want a bad relationship between any driver or team principal. But, you know, it felt more believable what came out in the Monaco weekend than this, if that makes sense. In my opinion, I feel what Zak Brown was saying back in Monaco was a real true representation.
Yeah, it seemed much more genuine, didn't it? Because the sort of those emotions and that attitude reflected the performances a lot better. And I know he's actually not been half bad in the last two races.
Yeah.
But to assume that those two races are going to completely switch up the feelings of a year and a half long relationship that they've had now is just probably not true, because it's not like he's been getting podiums.
No. What he says, you know, we've had some awesome weekends like Monza. That, well, I'm not being funny, that's almost a year ago.
Yeah, they haven't had...
And some disappointing weekends. Yeah.
They've had one.
We've had one. And, you know, let's put this into context here. He's literally just picking up on one awesome weekend.
Yeah, like what the reporter should have done is said Monza and he would have choked.
It was literally...
There haven't been... And that is sort of why, like what you say, that the Monaco comments do seem a lot more genuine.
I believe it more.
Yeah,
I definitely believe it more. So yeah, guys, let us know what your thoughts are. Do you think it is like a publicity stunt? My gut feeling is, yes, they get on naturally. They do get on well, but Zak Brown is kind of just backtracking.
Yeah, I'm sure personally it is all fine. But on a working front, you know, we said he's going to be feeling the pressure, Danny Rick, and McLaren aren't going to be happy.
No. In other news, AlphaTauri head of vehicle performance, Guillermo Deserti, I've absolutely butchered that, believes Yuki Tsunoda has taken a big step forward this year after his rookie season. And I would probably, well, apart from Canada, because he only drove straight into the wall, I think we've seen better performances of him. And he looked good towards the end of last year.
I think to my knowledge, and I've got about three brain cells at the moment, that was his only mistake, really, this season.
Yeah.
And he did have a handful of errors last season. I know there's still a fair way to go, but, you know, I think he's just kept his head down and been pretty consistent this season. Yeah. So I would agree with those comments.
And I think, you know, it is a big step coming into F1. You've seen a lot of rookies come in over the years, and it is a massive step from F2, F3, because there's a lot more pressure. You're more exposed than maybe you are in F2. You know, obviously you've got more crowds looking at you week in, week out, more eyes on you.
And I mean, it's the pinnacle of their career. So, you know, that's what they've been working towards their whole life. So if it doesn't work out for them, it's sort of like, well, now what? Like, they're never going to achieve the dream of winning the championship or something.
This is it.
Yeah.
This is your dream.
So I think what he's done, I think he had a pretty turbulent rookie season. I don't think he was lucky to keep his seat. I understand, like, why he was still there. But I think had he have continued in the same form this season, he would be lucky to have a seat next season.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with you. And I think I like his partnership with Pierre Gasly.
They seem to get along well.
I like, you know, AlphaTauri's Instagram posts. They always look like they're having a good fun. Touching on AlphaTauri and Pierre Gasly, obviously we confirmed last week, but it kind of got confirmed whilst you were away, that he has signed for AlphaTauri for 2023 season. We discussed it in last week's episode. We got a bit of stick on TikTok, basically, from what we said. I said, I think he should have gone to a better team, somewhere like McLaren. A lot of people turn around and go, well, there's no seat at McLaren. Ricciardo's there. Actually, and also, quote, Gasly decides to stay with AlphaTauri. So what is your problem, dickhead? Quote. So that
it completely defeats the object, right? We're here to give an opinion that we think he should move to another team to further his career. AlphaTauri is a child team. Do you know what I mean? Like, they're a product of Red Bull.
Yeah, they're a sister team. They're never going to win championships.
Yeah, so, like, I personally just don't see the point with Perez signing that contract, which outlasts Gasly's contract.
2024.
Extension. Like, I mean, come on, screw your head on, man.
But even, okay, answer me this. Even if Pierre Gasly, you know, Perez was finishing the same season, do you think Red Bull would go for Pierre Gasly again in that seat?
Well, I mean, that's the thing. If I was him and that was the scenario, I'd need assurances.
Yeah. He may have been given them. He may know more than we know that actually Sergio Perez might have signed a 2-year contract, but actually he may be...
And that's true. And like, I don't know how you could expect someone to be happy to stay at what is, let's be realistic, a stepping stone team.
Yeah.
And that's fine, like, because we need them and they're good, but you need to aspire to be racing for the top team.
Yeah. And this also, another alternative on this is Danny Ric's contract expires in 2023. Do we know something more that, or do they know more than what we do than the fact that actually Danny Ric leaves, there's your seat in McLaren?
Yeah.
You know, there's so many options.
That's what we speculated. Here. So I still stand by the fact McLaren is a great move for him.
Yeah. And I still stand by the fact that actually Danny Ric will not be in a McLaren seat next year. And I'll be very shocked if he is.
Yeah. Unless his performances dramatically improve.
Yeah. And what we mean by dramatically is getting those P4s, P5s, not just finishing 8th, 9th.
Although I appreciate that McLaren has had some issues across the season.
Yeah.
But so has every team.
But Lando, he's done it this year.
Yeah.
Has he been on that podium? He was, wasn't he, in Italy? Did he get third? Fourth?
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I've just gone down to two brain cells.
He's had good performances this year. But let us know what you think. Are we idiots in what we're saying? Or do you agree with what we're saying? I feel Pierre Gasly is better than that AlphaTauri seat. I feel that actually for him, it's hindering his progression.
Yeah, I mean, I don't really understand the aggression in the response. Yeah. Like we're saying he's actually better than AlphaTauri. That and that's the point. If he's not going to be given the opportunity at Red Bull, then AlphaTauri makes no sense.
Unless he's been given assurances of what his future is going to look like. That's the only... Because I'm not being funny. Pierre Gasly, in other documentaries we have seen and interviews, he wants to progress.
Yeah,
AlphaTauri is not a progression for him. And he said that in the past. So...
Because if for whatever reason, let's say he ended his career there.
Yeah.
There's no way that he is happy about that.
Oh, massive. No, without a doubt. But guys, let us know. Other news, former F1 chief Bernie Eccleston believes Mercedes boss Toto Wolff is getting a bit fed up with Lewis Hamilton. The 91-year-old.
I mean, that says it all, doesn't it? Yeah. I mean, he's deluded.
I mean...
Brain's gone.
Apparently, Lewis Hamilton is struggling to keep up with new teammate George Russell at the start of their partnership over the 9-race weekend so far. Eccleston reckons that Hamilton could choose to walk away from F1 earlier than his contract ends at conclusion of the 2023 season. He says Lewis might even sell his position to Toto. This is how much I am getting. I'll step down and give me half of what you get. Toto can go and do one of his magic deals, offer someone less money and keep 20 million. What is he talking about?
I mean, this guy has always hated Lewis. I mean, for whatever reason. He's always coming out saying weird shit about him.
Well, okay, I don't know what he is doing dressing up in those funny clothes. Has he got a deal with it? Is it to get noticed? Maybe that's it. What's it got to do with his clothes?
And I always find this so strange, you know. Like, people commenting on how sportsmen dress, or athletes, whatever you want to call them, dress or have haircuts or whether they attend shows outside of, you know, Lewis goes to events, but like footballers get a lot of stick for this. You just think like, why do you give a shit, right? If they're turning up and performing every week,
who cares?
And even if they're not, they're still human beings that have different interests outside of the sport.
But ultimately, who cares what they wear? Who cares what they do?
Yeah.
Who cares what they do outside of the sport? And this is like, okay, this comment alone partly makes me laugh, but part of me wants to just like lose my shit with him because he's gone...
punch a 91-year-old.
No, I wouldn't do that. Pushing
down the stairs because then it looks like it wasn't you.
Yeah. He said, right, no, I wouldn't do that. That's harsh.
You just agreed.
No, I didn't. he's gone out and he said, let's put it another way. This is what... So, okay. Bernie Eccleston says, let's put it another way. Lewis doesn't seem bothered about losing anymore. I'm not being funny. I think, if anything, Lewis is still very competitive. Very competitive.
I mean...
And you're coming out and saying he's not bothered about losing.
He seems pretty pissed off most times he's, like, speaking to the cameras.
So, I don't know what you're on, Bernie, but I feel like you're talking a bit of crap.
Yeah, no, let's face it. I mean, this guy's been weird for years. He talks a lot of shit.
I don't know why
people still give him the time of day. It's not even like he's actually involved in the sport anymore.
No, but he, like you say earlier, he's always going for Lewis. Going for Lewis.
Yeah, he has had this weird obsession about Lewis for a long time. And it's bizarre. And I mean, I'm trying to get my words out here, but like even like coming out and saying like that George is clearly outperforming him, and everything. It's just like unnecessary digs, isn't it?
I don't understand the point of it in all honesty.
And saying that like Toto Wolff is getting sick of him, like because Lewis has been outperformed in what 7 out of the last 9 races, despite winning 6 out of the last 8 championships. I'm sure he's not getting sick of him.
No, definitely not. Guys, let us know what you think. Is Bernie Eccleston a
freak?
Okay, yeah, comment down below. So shall we talk Silverstone?
Yeah,
I'm buzzing for this weekend.
Yeah,
in all honesty,
always a good race.
Shall we give you an opportunity to have 1 month of your mortgage paid for?
Yes, I'm gonna be terrible at this, but
this is
like
perfect time to do it. Okay, so I'll let you know when it is your turn to actually win the big prize.
Yeah.
Play at home. If you're watching on YouTube, comment down below. Let us know how many you got.
To confirm, obviously, I haven't watched any highlights or anything.
Unlike last time.
Yeah.
Utter cheat last time. So how many DRS zones are there in Silverstone?
Ooh. I think 2.
Congratulations, 2. Okay, when was the first Grand Prix held?
Oh, Jesus.
Actually, I'm going to give you... This is the opportunity for 1 month of your mortgage.
I'm trying to think how long Formula One has been around. I'm going to say 1952.
1950.
Oh, my God.
It's so close. When you said 50, I was like, shit. I might have shat myself then.
That is incredibly close.
That is close. Number of laps.
Ooh, well, it's a fairly long track.
Yep.
I'm going to say 58.
52.
Okay.
Lap record. Right, so I'll buy 2 weeks of your shopping. Okay. If you can get me the correct lap time and the person who did the... You have to get both. I can't just give you... You have to get both for both of them.
Okay. I mean, I'll be shocked if...
Remember, how many seconds did I say? It's like half a second either side.
I'll be shocked if it's not Lewis.
Okay.
That has that lap time. And I'm going to say 52 laps. I'm going to say 1 minute 20...
7.8. Oh, I'm so glad. So, it is 1 minute 27 0.097.
No!
That's the closest.
800s out.
Maybe you should go drinking more often. You're actually quite good at this game. And it was Max Verstappen in 2020. Yeah. When you said, I'm so glad I said half a second.
Oh my God. That was impressive.
That was
I don't
good.
Know. Do you lot play along with this at home? Because I hope you do.
It gets a bit intense.
Yeah, it really does.
Today was the first time I actually felt quite like nervous.
And let us know, would you have had your mortgage paid? And would Matt have had to buy your food shopping?
Yeah, let me know. Would you like to know a bit of history about it?
Yeah, why not?
So the lane, the perimeter road to the RAF Silverstone airfield in 1942. Did you know it was an airfield before?
No.
Knowing that they were settling down what would become the world's greatest racetrack. It was first properly used for a motor race in 1947, although sadly a local sheep lost its life during the proceedings. Well, this is on the. This is actually. This is no exaggeration. This is actually on the F1 website.
But how?
Well, I don't know. I'm assuming they were racing and the sheep came out of nowhere. Like Randy Orton of the sheep world.
I just can't believe that's made the page. What, honestly.
I'll be perfectly honest with you. No, nor do I. Would you like to know when everything kicks off this weekend, the schedule?
Yeah, I actually do, because I'm telling you, there is nothing more I'm looking forward to this weekend than not doing anything other than just putting my feet up and watching the F1.
Well, I can tell you. So on Friday, 1st of July, practice is 1 till 2. Practice 2 is 4 till 5.
Okay.
On Saturday, practice 3 is 12 till 1. Qualifying is 3 till 4 on Saturday. And the race...
Why have they shifted it all like an hour back the next day?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because that confuses me.
I always thought the race last year was 2, but this year the race is 3 till 5.
Oh, nice. That's a nice time for a race, I think.
Yeah, I think that's all right.
On actually. A Sunday afternoon.
I take it. So, would you like to know some race news? So Horner is predicting Silverstone will be a strong race for Ferrari as he plans to put right what happened last year. For you guys who don't know last year and you're new to the F1,
firstly, make sure just watch that. Not even watch the first two laps of that race if you're going to watch anything.
Oh, first lap. All you need to do is watch the first lap.
Yeah, but didn't they crashed out on the second?
No, first lap.
Was it first?
Yeah.
I thought it was second.
No, first lap.
Oh my God, yeah, just watch the first lap.
All you need to do. The commentary of that is phenomenal.
Yeah, it's great. That was, look, it was a bad crash happened and there was a lot of controversy around it. But for us as just general fans of Formula One, the intensity of that first lap was unparalleled.
I just remember, I think, you know, obviously we started... The actual rivalry started to heat up around that time.
Yeah.
I just remember because they were very close racing, but this was a pinnacle to how the whole season shifted last year, to the aggression, you know, no one backing out.
This really turned the heat up.
Oh, yeah, massively. Not just for the drivers, but team principals, the teams. The rivalry became real. So, yeah, go and watch the highlights because it is phenomenal. So if you don't know... First lap, it was close. Lewis was on his tail, really, you know, really close. They crashed. Verstappen went off. Lewis could actually stay. He managed to, you know.
And it was a nasty crash.
Was it something G? How many G was it? 50 G or something?
Oh, yeah. It was something disgusting.
It was ridiculous.
Like that.
What are your thoughts on it? Who was at fault for you?
It's complicated because I've got the Lewis tinted glasses.
Yep.
I don't know. I think at the time, definitely, I was like, there was a gap there.
Yeah.
And I don't think Lewis intentionally took him out.
No.
But I know he's got it in him to take people out.
Who, Lewis?
Yeah, no matter what people say about him. And okay, like, he seems like a really nice guy and everything. Lewis Hamilton... is a winner all costs guy, right? And he always has been. You can go back, right back to the beginning of his F1 career. And there's been incidents where you think, I don't think he necessarily went into them, but you didn't try and get out the way for them.
Yeah.
And, but at the time, I genuinely just thought, well, let him race hard.
I thought, initially, I'll be honest, I thought a race an instant. I was like, it's one of those things. The more I see it, perhaps Lewis should have backed out because it was a tight call. You knew Max wasn't going to back out from that.
And that was the thing, like,
yeah,
you know, Max too could have backed out. And I know, I think the argument is that it's Max's corner, but I don't know. I personally, you know, this is the sort of thing that I say we've been missing this season, where two drivers actually want it so bad.
Yeah.
That they're not going to back out. And sometimes that does lead to crashes.
I loved it.
And it sparked the season. And, you know, it was good to see Max get out of the car. And no one wanted either of them to get hurt. No. But, yeah, it really did. It did light a fire under the pair of them.
It turned the season massively to how, you know, I think if that hadn't happened, I don't think the season would have been that as exciting going forward.
Yeah, no.
From the sense of there was hatred. Red Bull hated how Hamilton celebrated at the end with fans after Max was in hospital. Horner.
Yeah, and I do sort of understand
I get
that.
It.
You know, don't get me wrong. I was standing there jumping at the TV celebrating with him. But I can completely understand why Max would look at that and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Like, I've just almost died and you're going around celebrating. But at the same time, if I was Lewis, I would do the exact same.
Well, he did ask if he was all right.
You know. Yeah, no, you know, like you say, these things happen when you are going for a championship. But who would have won that race if they didn't come together?
That's the thing, isn't it? I think if Max had got through that corner unscathed, I think eventually he would have pulled off, in all honesty.
Really?
I think so. However close it was for that last lap, I think that Red Bull had enough power to pull away. Don't get me wrong, Mercedes were quick. They were very quick. I just think maybe, because they did have the sprint race, didn't they, on the Saturday.
Yeah.
Lewis was on pole. Max, I can't remember, was second or something. Max took him quite easy.
Yeah.
I think that pace would have gone off from the Mercedes. I think Red Bull would have gone off for the win there. My gut feeling. You can never tell.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, at the same time, us saying, you know, it really did ignite the season.
And it was pivotal for Lewis coming back into that championship.
We were also robbed of a really good race. Do you know what I mean? We might have got like one of the most exciting laps of the season, but we then didn't get to see them race. And I know Lewis had to come back and take Charles Leclerc and whatever.
Yeah.
But you know, it wasn't the same as watching Lewis
and Max. I took
that
though. I was delighted. Do you know what? For me, just to see Lewis back in the championship.
Oh, yeah, no. As a Lewis fan, I was all for it.
But even if you're a neutral fan, I believe it's key that instant because
For the season, yeah.
For the season. If Max had finished second, for example, or whatever, you wouldn't have had that excitement towards the end of the season because there would be too much point difference.
Yeah.
I think that was key, not just for Lewis fans, but neutral fans as a whole.
Yeah, although I guess Lewis, but because obviously Max or Lewis didn't get points at Baku as well. Not that makes any difference because they both got zero. But it did get Lewis back into it.
26 points, I think it was then, he just took.
Yeah.
So, you know, it massively put him back into the season. So for me, regardless of whether I wanted Lewis to win that or whatever, it was amazing just from a neutral point of view that he was now back close in those points because he was like 30 odd points away max from Lewis. I think he was on like 180 odd so at the time.
Max was on a charge.
Yeah. So going back to Horner, do you think Ferrari will be strong this weekend? Leclerc showed last year he knows his track. He's good at his track.
Yeah, but still, I mean, it's a quick track.
Mm. Yeah. Who do you think this suits more, Red Bull or Ferrari?
Honestly, I think the Red Bull. I do, just because I think it looks pretty much as strong as the Ferrari in the corners now as well.
It's getting there now, isn't it?
So and they definitely have a huge straight line advantage.
Yeah.
And there is some fast parts at this track, particularly like, you know, the old pit straight where they came together.
Yeah.
I think qualifying, I'm not even sure how important qualifying will be.
Yeah.
I'm sure we'll see Max up there. But I think even if Charles gets pole, I think Max will still come through.
Leclerc needs to win this weekend. If he wants to get back in this championship, he needs, you know, both for Ferrari, but Ferrari in general this weekend, constructors, is so, points are so important for them. I know it sounds quite silly because points are important anyway, but especially the fact that they're losing ground to Red Bull now. They need these points.
At the rate they're going, Mercedes are going to jump them.
Yeah.
Because I've heard a lot of talks that Horner's been bigging up Mercedes this weekend.
So, busy sandbagging. You know, but saying that, Mercedes did well in Canada. So, and actually we're coming out of the street circuits now into the tracks which actually Mercedes are saying they're going to be better in. Is this a potential opportunity that you're going to start to see the comeback of Mercedes?
And they are bringing an upgrade package, I believe.
Oh, we can't get excited. We've done this too many times.
We're not going to do it again.
But talking about Mercedes, they've said that I mean, I'm not being funny. This is the most stupid quote I've ever heard. Mercedes say they definitely want to win Silverstone. No shit.
Yeah, you'd hope so.
Really?
I think all the teams probably want to win.
But Wolf warns that team must really grind away.
But saying stuff like that makes me think that they must have belief that it's possible, because I don't think they've said that any other weekend.
No.
You know, we must try and win. That to me does tell me that they are actually confident. That doesn't transcend through to me. I'm not holding hopes.
What would be successful for you this weekend for Mercedes?
Honestly, just a solid 5-6. Like that really would be successful, because granted, you know, neither of the Red Bulls or the Ferraris crash out. And so long as they're not in qualifying, they're not being pumped by like 0.8 of a second by the Ferraris and Red Bull. I think so long as they're just taking steps forward, you know, we had expectations throughout the season where different upgrades were going to give them a second's worth of pace or something.
Yeah.
And we've seen that just doesn't happen, because the other teams are bringing upgrades as well.
Yep.
And the gap between them is already huge. So, so long as if they're shaving time off that gap and they get a 5 and a 6, to me, I see no reason why that's not a successful weekend.
See, I'm opposite to you there. I think it would be a disappointing weekend, especially after Canada. Granted, Perez went out, I get that.
And Leclerc. Well, he didn't, did he? But he started at the back.
Well, he started from the back, yeah. I think it would be a disappointing weekend. For me, anything from a third or fourth, especially with how Mercedes are bigging themselves up now, I think a third and a fourth would be successful. In all honesty.
Yeah, no, I can agree with that. The fact that they are coming out and saying, you know, we need to win this weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess from their perspective, if they're not on the podium, that's a disappointment.
Yeah, especially in their home Grand Prix.
But I think maybe me as a now realistic fan.
Yeah.
I think if they get 5-6, I'll be happy with that.
Another little quiz for you.
Okay, I love these.
Right, so from 2018 up until last year, can you tell me who the winners were? So 2018, if you get all 5 right, I will fill up your car of petrol.
2018.
Yep.
Oh, was it 18 or 19 when Vettel won? Was it Vettel? Because Lewis crashed out. Well, he didn't. He spun on like the first lap or something, didn't he?
Yep.
I'm going to say 2018 was Lewis.
Okay.
I'm going to say 2019 was Seb.
Yep.
I'm going to say 2020 was Lewis, because he got the puncture.
Yep.
And then 2021 was Lewis.
I'm really confused here.
Why?
Emirates 70 was in one off. I'm really baffled by this. What?
Well, what? You can't be a quiz master and not know the answers.
Well, no, I am. I'm just really confused by that.
What's confusing you?
Hang on a second. Okay, so 2018, you said Lewis.
Yeah.
It was Vettel.
Oh, was that the year?
2019 was Lewis, 2020 was Lewis, and 2021 was Lewis.
I'm annoyed that I got that the wrong way around.
You should be annoyed. You should be annoyed.
But he came he came all the way from the back to get P2.
Yeah. I think... So, from a prediction point of view for this weekend, Silverstone Grand Prix.
Yeah.
Who's your top three?
The thing is, right, is I come across as just deluded every week. It's like Mercedes could say anything and I just believe it. Or I read something on Twitter and I believe it. But if they genuinely are going for the win, that's what they're saying, we're going for the win. I'm going to say Max, Lewis, Charles.
Oof, okay. I'm going to go for Max, Charles, Lewis.
Not Perez.
No. I think he'll have a little bit of a collision.
What's going to happen?
I don't know. Latifi will take him out. Oh, talking about Latifi, we've missed this bit of news, and I'm sorry because it actually makes me laugh. So, Nicholas Latifi. I don't know if you saw the post I put out yesterday.
No.
Latifi finds it puzzling that he does not feel capable of matching teammate Alex Albon's level of performance with the Williams Formula One car at the moment.
I mean, it's not hard to understand. He's just not as good.
He's just not as good. I mean, when I was doing the edit yesterday.
It's not puzzling, is it?
I mean, look, Latifi, you're a great guy, but you're not suited to F1. And actually, if you're finding it puzzling, then I'd really worry about what your thoughts are and how good you are. Because this guy still thinks he's really good.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to dwell on him for too long because I feel mean.
Yep.
Now, I feel like it's getting to the point where we're bullying him. granted, he doesn't watch, but...
How do you know?
He may do. I hope he doesn't, because it's not going to be very good for his self-esteem. But, yeah, I mean, you know, there comes a time where you've just got to accept. You know, at what point will he ever take the stance of, this isn't for me, I'm not cut out for this, I'm actually going to give up my seat? No, do drivers do that?
I can't see him ever doing that.
But, like, is there not a level of dignity that you have to maintain?
But what difference does that make now? I'm not being funny. You're at the back of the grid all the time. You're performing awfully. Your dignity is gone, surely, isn't it? No one's going to respect you for leaving the sport now.
Yeah, but, you know, coming last every time, I don't think is a huge deal when you're in the worst car.
Yeah.
It's when you're finishing last all the time, but finishing like way behind every time. I mean, your teammate's actually doing all right.
Yeah.
As it goes. What? No, Alex Albon's doing more than all right.
Yeah.
He's doing great for the circumstances.
Somebody posted on a TikTok we put out the other week about Latifi saying we think he should go. Their response was, well, what's the point of letting him go? Because you're not going to get anyone else in who's, you know, not going to pick up points. So why get someone else in for the sake of it? I was just kind of, you know, it's like one of those head in your hand moments when you're reading it.
And the thing is, it's not like Williams are not a team that should be looking to pick up points right now.
No.
That should be their goal, of course. But they need to get a driver in that doesn't finish last every single race.
Yeah.
Because they've got one who doesn't, and they do have one that does. So, you know, yeah, they're not going to get a driver in that's going to get points every week because the car's not capable of that. They just need a driver that is there to pick up points when they do become available. And if they do improve the car, a driver that is going to perform well in it.
Well, that's all. And you need someone who can take it to that next level.
Yeah.
At the moment, in all honesty, Latifi is not that guy. He's not that guy.
Yeah, no, he's not. And, you know, I am sorry if you do ever watch this. Love to have you around for a barbecue or something.
Why don't we have the sprint race this year at Silverstone?
Where are they?
Imola, the Red Bull Ring, which is Austria, and Interlagos, Brazil.
Yeah, I don't know why.
So
have you read anything?
No, I quite liked it last year at Silverstone. I thought it was like an added extra, which was quite good.
Yeah, well, like we said, you know, it's quite a nice quick track.
Yeah.
So something like a sprint race, but I still, you know, that I'm still sat on the fence about them.
I think it's got to be a certain races, which makes it exciting.
Yeah.
Imola wasn't exciting.
Nope.
I think Brazil could be exciting. I do. Austria.
It needs to be a track or at tracks where there is good, there's a good number of places to overtake.
Yeah. I thought Canada would have been good. That long straight.
Yeah.
That would have been actually quite good. Imola, I was disappointed with. But yeah, our next one is actually Austria. So
that's a pretty good track, you know.
I like Austria. Yeah. I do. I don't like it when they do it back to back and you know that Red Bull are just going to dominate like they did last year.
God, yeah. Max smashed
God, that,
didn't
was he? Awful. I hated watching those two race weekends.
Yeah.
You just knew after the first weekend, you knew, oh, we're going there next week. Nothing's going to change in that time.
Yeah. And like, even, you know, take like the Mercedes fan element out of it. It was just boring because you just knew he was going to win.
But the bad thing was, you knew after that first one, you knew exactly what it was going to be like the following week. And it was exactly the same.
Yeah, yeah.
It was no difference it was just in like it
watching,
whatsoever.
Watching the same episode of a show.
Yeah, it was poor. It was very poor. So quickly, rundown of drivers and who you think is going to finish ahead of each other. So let's start off with Max versus Perez.
Max, for sure.
Charles Sainz.
Sainz was quick.
Yep.
Last weekend. I feel like that may have given him a lot of confidence. But I did say in my predictions that Charles would be third and I didn't put Sainz ahead of him.
Yep.
So I'm going to say Charles, but I'm expecting a good performance from Sainz this weekend.
No, I agree. Lewis George.
Lewis.
Lando, Danny Rick.
It's got to be Lando.
It's home race. Home race.
Yeah.
Alonso Ocon.
You know, I've rated Ocon this season.
Yeah. He's gone under the radar.
Yeah. But Alonso has been really quick some weekends. So I'm going to say Alonso.
Seb Stroll.
Seb, I think Seb has been more consistent this season, really. Although, you know, Stroll did all right last weekend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm going to go Seb.
Gasly, Tsunoda.
Yeah, now this is a tough one. Because I feel like Gasly's been a bit hit and miss this season. Yeah. AlphaTauri's have been a bit hit and miss. I'm going to say Tsunoda.
Albon, Latifi.
Albon.
And finally, Mick Magnussen.
Again, Mick was doing really well last week.
He needs to get points on the board. He needs to get points on the board.
But K-Mag has been consistently quicker than him. So I feel like if I said otherwise, it wouldn't make much sense.
No.
What I want to know right now from you listening and watching, this will mainly be if you're watching because you're going to have to comment on YouTube. Or you can DM us with your predictions. We do read all of the DMs. But who do you think is going to be the top 10 in qualifying? Because I'm not going to lie, sometimes qualifying is better than the race.
Okay, so fan questions. Let's start off with, what one new rule would you introduce to make F1 more exciting?
Ooh. Now, I know this takes away a huge element of the sport, right? In terms of the initiative side of the sport and development, but I'd love to see all the cars with the same power engine, like exactly the same engine in every single car. So then it purely comes down to the aero and, you know, driver skill. I just think if they're all, and I know aero changes, even like you can get more speed through aero, but I do just think it'd be quite a cool concept where you haven't got some engines that are really powerful and some that just seem to be like a Peugeot 206 engine. I just think that it would be quite interesting to see. I'm not saying I would bring that rule in. As it goes, I generally don't think there's much wrong with the sport. But I feel like it would give us closer racing if they all had the same power behind them. And I think it would be much closer, and you would see a more varied winner selection.
It would all be down to driver talent.
Yeah.
Which is exactly what everyone questions week in, week out. So actually, if it is fairer from that point of view, it'd be really interesting to see who is a...
And, you know, let's take it back to last season, where people completely discredited, like, Hamilton's Brazil win. Because, God knows what they put in that car. But, it wasn't from this planet. That engine was insane. So, you know, it would have been interesting to see, well, if they all had that engine, how would it have ended?
Yeah, no, definitely. We're in. So, next question is from William.Francis09. If Ferrari have another poor weekend, is the championship all over for them?
Well, I think the only way it wouldn't be over for them, they'd have to bank on Red Bull reliability issues.
Yeah.
Which there still are some issues there. But they need it to go wrong for Max. Yeah. Really. Ferrari can't really afford to have any more problems in their car. So I think if they did have a bad weekend, I'd be surprised if Ferrari could win the Constructors and Charles could win the championship.
My feeling is if they don't start picking up points, if Red Bull going into summer break are still ahead, for me, it's done. I can't see, you know, if Ferrari have any more reliability issues, I think that's it.
If Red Bull win this weekend, that's seven in a row.
Yeah. Mental, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's mental.
What's the record for that?
I don't know.
Because I know Seb holds the record for most race victories in a row, and that's 9. But I'm pretty sure, now correct me if I'm wrong, that is also the record for, a team.
I'll have a look.
But that may be wrong, because now I'm thinking, surely Ferrari must have done more back in the day.
What, the Schumacher era?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have a look. Okay, Aaron_Dylan23 asks, if you made an F1 team, what would you call it? And which one of you would be first driver? That's easy, that'd be me.
It would have to be called, what would it be called? Martin's Motor.
But why is it your surname?
I don't know.
Martin's Motor?
Yeah.
What, is someone from Only Fools and Horses?
Yeah, it's got three wheels. I think that'd be quite cool. Who would be first driver?
Oh, it'd be me. I proved that in go-karting against you.
Yeah, but, okay, so go-kart is different because...
Still doesn't matter.
Matt probably weighs 20 kg less than me.
Oh, thanks. So, I'll tell you that.
But, I mean, how much do you weigh?
11 stone?
Yeah, so I'm 13 and a half.
Are you?
Yeah, it's pure muscle. but you know, so that makes a big difference.
So surely it'd be better if I was the first driver then, because I'd be likely to get more points.
Well, no, because... It's a bit different in a go-kart.
No. So I'll be lighter in an F1 car and I'm more skillful.
Yeah, see, this is where it'll come down to. What we're going to do is once you've got your will... Oh, you must have it.
I've got to order it. I'll have it. I'll have it this week.
What, was it not wrapped up for you?
No. Because I was unsure whether I was going to get it. But I got it. They just gave me the money. So now I've got it. Now I'm going to order it.
All right, nice. We'll have a race and we'll let you know the results.
That's a bit harsh, though, because you've had practice with yours.
Okay, I'll give you a week.
Okay, fine. The new game comes out on the 1st of July. Yep. Buzzing for that.
You're excited? You listening at home?
This is actually... Okay, we'll just finish off this. What's the F1 team name called? I don't know. What would you call it?
I don't... What's wrong with Martin's Motor?
Okay, we'll call it Martin's Motor. It's what a shit name that is. And come on, I'd be the first team. I'd be the first driver, wouldn't I?
I personally disagree.
Okay. Let us know what you think. Who would be the first team driver for Martin's Motors?
And talking about who would be first driver, we do still want to get some sort of league going.
Yeah.
Where we can do races on the game. We'll get, 18 of you guys involved. Race against us at Martin's Motor.
Well, somebody's asked here, Tom North, good old Tom North. He's the one who's been sending us the footage from all races, like, you know, in Canada.
Oh, very nice. Good guy.
Good guy. Will you two do a co-op career on the new F1 game?
Oh, so, you know, that would be a really good way to gauge our skill. And we could, yeah, we could post the videos.
We could do it weekly. Doesn't take a long.
Yeah.
It's one race.
Goodness, you know, I'm not going to complain about playing a game.
No. That is something. Would you like to see it? Let us know what your thoughts are. Would you like to see us post weekly races?
And you know, don't expect the quality of like Jarno Otmir.
Yeah, I mean, we're not that good.
It's going to be embarrassing.
He's a joke.
Wouldn't you love to see some of these gamers in an actual F1 car?
I think it would be awful. I think they would be bad. Yeah.
But you see, you know, you see like Max and Lando play the game.
Yeah.
And like, I'm pretty sure Jarno's faster than them.
Lando's not as good on the game as he is.
No, and that's the thing. So, but I do think it'd be well interesting.
Yeah.
Like, surely, has a team given them this opportunity? Surely a team can give them an opportunity to race.
Yeah.
Or do some hot laps in a real F1 car.
I would rate it. I think it'd be good.
That is a video I could see someone like Red Bull doing.
Yeah.
Because they're good with that content.
Yeah. Or, yeah. Williams would be good. I think Williams would be good with that.
Yeah, but you might as well just, I don't know, stick like a Citroen Picasso around the
track. Could they be any worse than Latifi? Who knows?
Now, that would be interesting.
Can you imagine if he lost Jarno to a gamer?
Against Nicholas Latifi.
Who wins? Let us know. For people who keep asking, so we are going to do a live stream of a race.
Yeah.
We've said that, haven't we? We are going to do that. That should be easy to do. With regards to a race on the new F1 game, I don't see why we couldn't do that. I think that would be pretty easy to do. We just need to work out logistics on how we film it. Obviously, yeah. I've got an Elgato already. I can film the gameplay.
Is there any update on crossplay, cross platform, whatever it is? Because obviously, like I just have my PC, so I play on my PC, and you're like, you don't need an Elgato or anything for that. It just
records.
Yeah,
I don't know. In all honesty.
Because if it's not cross-platform, I'm going to have to get a PS5. And
oh, how awful.
I don't actually game a lot.
No, but you will do when you see me beating you week in, week out, yeah, on the track.
I will not let you get better times than me.
It's on. Let us know who you think is going to win. Final question is from... Oh, where did I see it? Who is the most underrated and overrated driver on the grid?
On the grid, currently?
Hmm.
Oh, God.
I think that's always a hard question to answer.
Because that is
underrated. I personally would say Ocon.
Yeah, someone like Ocon.
I think he's done phenomenal this year. Gone under the radar. He's been good.
Albon? But then I'm not sure if he is underrated. But, you know, he's racing at the worst team.
Yeah.
On the grid. He got released by Red Bull.
Yep.
I'd say Albon could be classed as underrated.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that does come from his like pretty terrible time at Red Bull.
Yeah.
But Ocon is a good shout. I agree.
Overrated?
I know this is going to go down badly, but I still think Carlos Sainz.
Yeah. I would agree with you on that one. I think we've bigged him up quite a lot. Well, okay, I've bigged him up quite a lot on this channel.
And that doesn't even mean that I don't think he's good. He is. I'm not going to slander him like Stroll or Latifi.
He's been very inconsistent this year.
Yeah, and I just think there was this... I think he was given this image that he was going to be as good as Charles.
Yeah.
Or maybe even better. And I think... You know, I know he beat him on points last season. But now they're in a competitive car and Charles is smashing him.
Yeah.
I don't want to sound harsh in that way because I do still think he's very good. But he would have to be my overrated driver.
Not a bad shout, not a bad shout. I probably would agree with you on that one. Guys, let us know what your thoughts are of Silverstone. Who do you think is going to win? Who would win in F1, you know, on gameplay out of Luke and I? My money's on me, in all honesty. But anyway, let us know what your thoughts are.
That is a losing bet.
That is, yeah. And yeah, thank you very much for all your support so far. Get in touch on all TikTok.
On all TikTok.
All TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. New episode will be out next week. I'm gutted. Dan's away.
Oh, yeah. Matt's got to edit. So quality might be a bit.
No, it will be down. It will be down.
And hopefully I'll be feeling fresh.
Fresh. Can we also just say a massive shout out to Dan? Because he's done a phenomenal job on our videos over the last few weeks. Massive shout out to him.
He's
Go and check
hero.
Him out. Go and check him out. Link description below. He's been phenomenal. He has been phenomenal. So, Dan, thank you very much for that. Luke, hope you feel better soon.
Yeah. No.
Get a good night's sleep.
I will. And I mean, you know, I'm glad that I came here, though. I'm glad that I showed up.
You said to your own house?
No, but you said, you know, we could have canned it.
Well, I was just more worried about you because I walked in and you went, can you just get this done because I want you to go? I mean, I'm not being funny. Oh, welcome to my house. You know.
I didn't mean it personally. It was, you know, like when you're in that sort of state of mind when you just want, you don't want to be disturbed. You don't want to talk. I just want to lay there and watch TV and just be left alone.
He literally said to me when I walked in, like he didn't even say hello to me when I walked in. It was like, yeah, let's get this done. I was like, okay. And then he was like, come on, let's just get this done so you can go. I was like, wow, thanks so much.
The thing is what people maybe don't understand, and I definitely didn't understand it before I started sitting in front of a camera and talking, is if you're not in the mood, it is one of the worst things in the world to do because, you know, but what I'm saying is I have come on and I have actually enjoyed it. Like,
yeah. Thank you.
So it has been good, but getting yourself to do it, I was like, this is the last thing I want to do.
Well, thank you for turning up. Thank you for turning up. I appreciate it. Guys, thank you again. And we shall see you next week for a brand new episode. Bye-bye.